Hi. Welcome to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. On this episode, we hear from Alden Darby of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as he's re-signed with the team. Also, we'll talk to Julio Caravata, BC Lions radio analyst, on how free agency is going in that market. Do they miss Nathan Rourke? What moves do they have left before the season? We'll get all his thoughts coming up on the podcast. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers busy this weekend, adding a couple players like Nick Dembski, as well as yesterday we learned that Alden Darby was coming back, defensive back for the team, and he joins us now on the CJOB Sports Show. Alden, how does it feel to be back for another season in Winnipeg?
Oh, man, it feels good to, you know, come back to Winnipeg and finally have a home and go through an offseason where I know where I'll be at for the whole season. So it feels really good. I'm excited.
So you came back to the team during the season after winning a Grey Cup here. You were traded to Winnipeg. How do you feel? Do you feel different about preparing for a season knowing you're going to spend the whole season in a place as opposed to last year where you get traded mid-season? I'm sure that's a bit disorienting.
Yeah, like a lot of people don't really take into consideration how much of a toll that weighs on your body and your mind. This is actually going to be my first off-season and first time preparing to be on a team that already know the playbook, already know the system. I know what position I'm going to play. This is going to be the first time I have that opportunity since I would think like 2018, to be honest. My last year with Toronto Argonauts, I haven't had a chance to really go through an entire offseason knowing what position I'm going to play, knowing the team I'm going to be on in about three years. So it's difficult to do that, to go through that way. So I'm excited.
So why did you want to come back to Winnipeg?
A lot of reasons. You know, that's a special building. That's a special locker room. It's a special team. And who I am as like a person as far as when it comes to, you know, work and football and when I'm on that field in that locker room, it's kind of just like, you know, you walk into that building, you show up to work, and with the film on, you don't have to worry about if a guy's going to do his job. It's like a real family over there. It's a true brotherhood. Everybody in that locker room genuinely loves and cares about one another. We all know each other's wives, girlfriends, kids, you know, by first and last names. It's like a big family over there. And, you know, without having to make the obvious, we got to finish business for sure. And it's just a good fit for me. You know, the way the defense designed, how they use my skill set and the respect and how much they like and care for me. So it was a no-brainer for me.
We've asked this of every free agent pretty much. Have you watched the Grey Cup?
No, I have not. Absolutely not.
No, you haven't. Okay. That's different than some of the guys we've talked to.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched it. I mean, it replays in my head every single day. I know every single play, every single moment. And I wake up to it. I go to sleep to it every single day. So I don't need to watch it.
So it's that motivating to you that you just can't stop thinking about it.
What's more so motivating is just, you know, us as a team, as a family, we know what we left out there. And, you know, we can't use that game as motivation. It's more so us being who we are and how much we care about each other and how much we care about this game. It could have been the first game of the season that we dropped the ball on. We know how much more we could have gained, and we know what we could improve at. So for us, it's doing it for each other. And that's the motivation for myself. It's just knowing, like, I want to get more from my brothers, my teammates. Whatever the outcome is, the outcome in this year is. But as long as I go out there every day and make sure I get my all every single day, that's all I care about.
Are you going to watch it at some point?
I'm pretty sure we'll have to watch it at some point as a team, as a unit. I think I might be able to watch it once training camp starts and once I'm back in that building and I'm able to actually apply actions to what I want to do. I think I'll pretty much watch it one time.
Okay. So that's a loss that really stings then.
Yeah, most definitely. That one hurt.
Okay.
That one hurt.
Did it hurt more than winning 2021 felt good?
Yeah, it hurt. We just couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? I just couldn't understand, you know, how or why. And I don't want to make any excuses as to, you know, this or that, but I just couldn't believe it, you know. And then even me being at Hamilton, you know, more than half the season, you know, watching those guys, how hard they worked and, you know, how great of a season they were putting together, even when people thought that it wasn't going to be a good season for us and still went out there and did it and still made a historical season out of it. That one hurt.
for you to come in mid-season, you only played a handful of games with Winnipeg. Oftentimes when someone comes over by the trade deadline and you know, it's not the same feeling if you lose with the team than if you played with them for longer. But it's different for you because you knew most of the players on the team playing from 2021.
Yeah, I knew all those guys in the locker room. And, you know, I was still in group chats with a lot of those guys because, like I said, it's a bond that can never be broken. And even my buddies from the 2017 Grey Cup that I won, I still talk to those guys still to this day. And we're still in some group chats together, you know what I mean? When you come through a championship season like that, you know, it's a bond that'll never be broken, you know? And so I was still talking to a lot of those guys, communication with a lot of those guys. And, you know, a lot of those guys also would check on me during the season because they couldn't understand, you know, what was going on with me in Hamilton and stuff like that. So when I came back in there, it was kind of like, no, I didn't miss a beat.
So what's this offseason look like for you then?
It's going to look like being in the best shape I could be, you know. As you get older, you want to make sure that you try to scale the clock back in some type of way. So I'm focusing on making sure I'm in the best shape of my life and mentally and physically. And then, you know, a huge part is making sure my mental is right, you know, make sure my mind is strong and understanding my job and coming in there ready to lead and doing what I'm asked to do. And, yeah, just make sure I feel the absolute best I've ever felt ever.
Where are you spending the offseason?
I'm still in Ontario right now at the moment. I might go down to California just to beat this weather and get some training out there with my old training facility and with some of my old NFL buddies just to kind of fine-tune some things before training camp.
So have you called Ontario home for the time you've been in the CFL?
Yeah, I've been living out here since 2018. I left after the Grey Cup in 2017, and then I instantly came back in like 3 or 4 months, and I've just been here ever since.
Do you find it easier to have a home base in Canada when playing in the CFL?
Yeah, for me it is. You know, I was, you know, unlike a lot of players, I don't have any kids, and at the time where I decided to stay here, I'm not married or anything like that. And so not having any kids, it kind of just it being me, it was a lot easier to make that decision. And plus, you know, I was fortunate enough to, you know, to be living in Toronto and playing for Toronto. You know, obviously a good city to be in. So it all kind of made sense and it all aligned for me. So it was an easy move for me. I went home after the Grey Cup in 2017 and quickly seen the difference between currencies. And so I said, let me go back out here in Canada. So I stayed out here and it's just a lot easier for me.
Ever thought of living in Winnipeg and spending the winter here?
The crazy part about it was after the Grey Cup, after we won the Grey Cup in 21, you know, if I was going to resign with them, which I was hoping to, I was actually going to plan on living up there in off season if I got resigned before free agency started, but that didn't work out. So, yeah, because I definitely wouldn't mind that. You know, me living out there, being in the community, in off season stuff like that.
You're okay with cold?
I could do it. I don't go outside too often. from the house to the car, that's it.
I mean, that's a lot of us too, to be fair, and we've been living here a whole long time. So before I let you go then, when do you get into Winnipeg? Is it going to be training camp?
No, I'll be out there probably like a month before camp. I'm looking, I'm actually got to call the realtor tomorrow to start helping me look for a spot and seeing some options and stuff like that and kind of narrow down and lock in the spot and lock in some dates. But I'll be out there well before training camp.
All right, Alvin, wish you the best of luck. Have fun this offseason, and congrats again on the new deal.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You guys enjoy.
Continuing our free agency preview tonight as we tour across the country. Tonight we round out the West Division as we check in with Giulio Caravatta. He is the radio analyst for the BC Lions.
I can't start a conversation about the BC Lions, Giulio, without talking about Nathan Rourke's departure to the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's been a bit since the move happened, but how is it received? Is it more of a proud papa feel for Lions, or is it more like, dang it, he was a really good player. We would have liked to have him back.
I think that was the initial reaction, was that people were upset. Because I think, you know, everybody across the league, you know, saw the excitement that Nathan brought to the table. So, I think everybody was a little bit disappointed, whether you were a Lions fan or just a CFL fan. But I know now most people are happy and excited about, you know, what he's going to be able to do next, right? You know, there was a lot of talk, a lot of curiosity about, you know, why he picked Jacksonville out of all the teams, given that Trevor Lawrence was there. But as I said then, I think that when you do what Nathan's done as far as his tour of tryouts and, you know, you go to all these different organizations and you talk to so many different people and, you know, you do get a feel for how much interest there is. And clearly the interest that he was getting from Jacksonville was above everybody else, that he felt that there was a legitimate opportunity to, you know, to be the backup and was going to be given that opportunity. And, you know, you can't blame the kid, right? You mean everybody chases that dream. And now the exciting part is going to be watching that next step for him and whether or not he gets that opportunity.
So that leaves BC with Vernon Adams Jr. at the quarterback position, and they're fine with that, I take it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I absolutely, I think they're fine with it. You know, they made this move last year thinking that this was going to be a definite possibility with Nathan leaving. So, you know, the one thing about Vernon, and I know that, you know, he's been marred with some inconsistency. He had that 2019 year where he was outstanding. Is that, you know, how difficult the scenario was for him. You know, you're moving halfway through the year, you get traded, you know, you have to deal with all the things that are off the field. You come to a new team, new playbook. There's pressure because, you know, what Nathan had done prior to him being here and all the expectations. And for him to go 4-2 as a starter and really, you know, give them a chance, you know, I thought he did a great job. And now I think the exciting part about it is that Jordan McSimmick, the offensive coordinator, is going to have a full off season to really build the offense around what Vernon does well. And, you know, that I think last year that offense was built around what Nathan was doing well. So it'll be exciting to see at training camp, you know, how the offense will change a little bit to fit Vernon's skill set.
Now, in terms of free agency for the Lions, as we sit here about a week away from the start of it all, a lot of players have been already extended. Take me through who's already been brought back for 2023.
Well, you got the likes of like David Mackey, and I know Josh Banks just has re-signed, Gary Peters, TJ Lee, those kinds of guys have been extended. And I would imagine that there is going to be a bunch of others. Like I know Suk Chung and Peter Godber, Joel Figueroa is one of my, I'm interested to see, you know, whether or not he gets offered a contract back. He's getting a little bit up there, but still a very solid player. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, I know that they were very happy with their team last year. But you're always going to get change, right? And so Brian Burnham's retirement obviously is a big change on offense. But you know, they feel very, very confident with Keon Hatcher jumping into his spot. And you know, Dominic Rimes had a great year. Lucky Whitehead hopefully will be able to stay healthy and be that impact player that they, you know, so desperately need. Javon Kotoy, I think, is another guy that, you know, is still getting better. The one possibly bigger hole they need to fill, offensively, I would say, you know, they've made a very good offer to James Butler. I think James Butler wants to find out what's out there, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not they're able to get him back or if someone willing to pay him what he thinks he's worth. If I were to be honest with you, I think probably the one area that they are going to look at is probably that interior part of the defensive line. You know, they had very, very high hopes for Stowe Richardson when they signed him in free agency, and obviously the injury to his Achilles really hurt. He came back, got hurt again. So I don't think that he's going to be in their initial plans, but I know that's an area where they want to address. And it'll be interesting to see what they possibly do during free agency to maybe fill that hole.
So that's the principal one. Otherwise, I feel like defensively they're pretty well stocked, are they not?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think they feel, you know, good about, I think, you know, looking back on it, I think they probably are very happy about, you know, some of those guys that came back after their first years, like the Boom Guachem and the Josh Banks, and then having the emergence of a Ben Haladic, the Canadian kid out of UBC, who really got a chance to step in and play and really, you know, they couldn't take him out of the lineup, right? He had an outstanding year, and then Manny Rugumba, who did a great job at that time linebacker, that forced them to move Luchez Purifoy to safety. Now Luchez isn't going to come back. I think that there were some issues, you know, with how all that, you know, went down with him getting moved from Sam to safety. I think he was very, very disappointed about that because initially I think he was told that was where he was going to play. And I know he played the position, but and did a pretty good job at it, but I don't think that's where he wants to play. The likes of, Jalen Edwards-Cooper, I think he's another guy that you know, took some steps. So they've got some good young players that hopefully are going to continue to get better. And I thought that David Menard and Matthew Betts, they had, I think, a combined 16 or 17 sacks last year off that defensive end spot. So they platooned out there and did very, very good. So Sione Tuihema was another kid that I think he had 7 or 8 sacks that really kind of impressed people off the edge. So they've got some really good young talent, but free agency is always one of those things that you're going to always try to get one or two guys that you think can help you out. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, where the Lions go with that.
Now, I mentioned Vernon Adams Jr. is there. The two other quarterbacks we saw some time with Michael O'Connor and Antonio Pipkin, they're not signed. Any interest in bringing them back as backups?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not 100% sure where they're going to go with that position. I know they have a number of guys in their neg list, and whether or not they're going to be able to get any of those guys up here is another thing. But, I would imagine that's going to be one of those positions where they want to have, some experience. Antonio Pipkin was one of those guys that, he's been around the league a little bit and played a little bit here. I don't know whether or not they feel he's the answer. He was their third down quarterback, did a good job doing that. But I don't know whether or not Michael O'Connor will come back. I would doubt that as it is right now. That's another one in free agency. Like, obviously the quarterback situation everywhere is a little bit up in the air with a bunch of teams. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that stuff unfolds. And as soon as a couple of those dominoes fall, you're going to see a lot of things happen. But I would imagine that the Lions, that they have, a plan on what they're going to do with that position. And I heard Dominique Davis's name, pop around, but I'm not 100% sure whether or not, they're just kicking the tires on that or not. But it'll be interesting to see, where they go with that. Cause that is, again, another position where I think the league has shown that, you need two guys, right? If you don't have two guys, you're asking for trouble.
Is there a big name free agent out there that you think the Lions are going to be in on, or is that just not really in their ballpark? We're going to leave that to like the Riders and Red Blacks Alouettes this year.
Well, yeah. I can't see that. I think they're happy with, I think they're very, very focused on bringing a lot of the guys that they have back. They really liked their team last year. But that's not to say they're going to tweak. They're not going to tweak. But it all depends too on what's available, right? Like I know that there's a number of guys out there, but whether or not they're going to end up being signed or whether or not they're going to go to free agency is still yet to be seen. But I can't see the Lions being like a huge player like they were last year. Who knows? You never say never in this league, but I just don't see that many holes where they were like, wow, that's, we got to make a change there or we got to do something there. They have some good young players in the pike and they did a good job drafting. There's some good Canadian talent there that they're really excited about. And I just can't see them being, really, really big in free agency.
So looking at where they are now, obviously they're feeling good about who they've got. Some holes still to fill. The old linemen, they're going to bring them back for the most part. But where do you feel right now they're sitting in the pecking order of the West Division?
Realistically, I'd have to say that, well, Winnipeg's clearly I think, still the best team in the West. And they may be the still best team in the Canadian Football League. you just can't say enough of what they've been able to do and been able to, you know, hold on to the people that they have. And I think, again, it speaks volumes to their management team and to Michael Shea and the kind of culture that he's created there, that the players are raced to come back because they love playing for him. So, you got to think Calgary is going to be, you know, there's not many holes there. Here's the big thing is that any team that has a quarterback, that has an experienced quarterback, I think for the most part gives you a chance. So I would put them right now in that 2-3 hole as far as the West goes. But I think Edmonton and Saskatchewan, I think, will be very active in free agency, and especially Saskatchewan with that fan base, that they're going to want some change, and they're going to want some big impact players that can sell some tickets. So I would imagine that if they get Trevor Harris, you know, that's going to change people's outlook towards them. But the other big part is they've got to have to fix their offensive line. They were terrible. So it doesn't matter whether you got Trevor Harris and you've got, Zach Kolaros back there. If you don't have people who can protect them, it's going to be a long year. So I suspect that Saskatchewan's going to be very, very active come free agency when it comes to the line of scrimmage and their quarterback.
Who's the player on the Lions that you think, well, other than Nathan Rourke, won't be back that they'll miss the most?
I think Lucchez Purifoy. I think Lucchez is a very, very intense young man who brings a level of, he's very athletic, is capable of doing a lot of things. And I think he brought a certain attitude and swagger to that defense. So I really think that they're going to miss him. I know he's had a few off-field issues, but he's a very, very good football player who's so versatile that you can play him in a whole bunch of different places. But all I know is that whenever I watch him play, he always seems to be around the football. And he does it with a certain edge that I think you hate to play against a guy like that, but you love to have him on your team. So I think he's a guy that the Lions will miss.
Well, Julio, appreciate your time tonight. Thanks for this. And we'll see what free agency brings. We'll check in as we get closer to the season.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much for having me on.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. If you liked what you heard, guess what? You can hear more every weeknight on CJOB from 6:30 to 9 p.m., of course. That is when the Jets are not playing, because if the Jets are playing, then I don't have a show, but I'll be part of the pre- and post-game coverage. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in. Subscribe if you'd like. We're available on iTunes and other places, I'd imagine. So farewell, until we meet again.
So long and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.